This is Scott Craig, Public Policy Advisor for KLMP. Well, today is the third and last day of a little journey that I've hoped to take you on. 2 days ago, we considered why in the Christmas story Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. And then yesterday, we talked about why he had to go to Egypt and not another country, but why Egypt to be protected from King Herod. This morning, we're going to talk about why he left Egypt and went to Nazareth. You see, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19, we find out that after King Herod died, an angel once again comes to Joseph and says, pretty much, the coast is clear. You can go back home. On their way home, Joseph gets another dream. Another angel speaks to him and says, I'm going to clarify now where you're going to go. You're going towards that area, but you're going to end up in Nazareth. And so that's where he goes. Actually, it was home for him. Nazareth was Joseph and Mary's hometown. We're told in Luke 1:26, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Well, the Lord wanted them to raise Jesus in their hometown of Nazareth because it was fulfillment of another prophecy, as Matthew tells us in chapter 2, verse 23. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Now, even though he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus is not called Jesus of Bethlehem. Even though he lived in Egypt for however long, he's never called Jesus of Egypt, but he's called Jesus of Nazareth over and over in the Gospels, just as Matthew said he would. However, that statement, he will be called a Nazarene, it's not found in the Old Testament. With the word Nazarene, Matthew is summarizing an image that appears in a number of prophecies about the Messiah, that he would not be taken seriously, and that he would be contemptible in the eyes of most people. And it turns out that Nazareth has a lot to do with creating this perception. Let me see if I can get you to understand this. If prophets foretold that the Messiah would live in the desert, come from an abnormal town, and have 10 hound dogs, and then we find out later that he was actually raised in Roswell, New Mexico, the alien capital of the world, you know, Area 51, then the term Jesus of Roswell would essentially sum up what the prophets foretold. My apologies to anybody from Roswell. I went through the place a few years ago on my way to a family reunion, and we couldn't figure out who really believed in extraterrestrials or who really were extraterrestrials. Either way, Nazareth was the proverbial town on the other side of the tracks. Nazareth housed a Roman garrison for the northern regions of Galilee. So most Jews wanted nothing to do with the city, and the Jews that did live in Nazareth were thought of as compromisers who were friendly with the enemy. So to call somebody a Nazarene was to use a term of contempt and disapproval. And I wonder if this was a factor in there being no room for them at the inn in Bethlehem. You know, you can imagine the innkeeper asking Joseph, "Where are you from?" "Nazareth." "Oh. You know, it's funny. I just rented out our last room, but you might check with a hotel down the street, or you can sleep with the pigs." You can imagine. Well, this is also why Nathanael said what he did when Philip came to him and said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael smugly replied, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Well, this is where God chose for his son to grow up. Why? Again, you've got to keep in mind, Nazareth was despised. It was a town of rejects. And in the story, we know that Jesus was rejected by his own hometown. That's where he said a prophet is not with honor in his own town, right? So he was rejected by the town of rejects. Nonetheless, throughout his ministry, he was called Jesus of Nazareth. It was his primary title. Even demons were bound to use that title when they pleaded, "Jesus of Nazareth, do not cast us into the abyss." And when he was crucified, Pontius Pilate ordered a sign to be inscribed and hung above Jesus' head that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Pilate did it because it was laughable. It was a slam. I mean, how could a man from Nazareth be king of anything? And when women were at his tomb on the morning of his resurrection, the angel said, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." And after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, when he stops Saul on the road to Damascus, he identifies himself with, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." It was God's wisdom that Jesus was not called Jesus of Rome or Jesus of Alexandria. He was not identified with any great city of the day. He wasn't even known as Jesus of Bethlehem or Jesus of Egypt, but he was known as being one of the many who were despised and rejected. To attach a town to one's name in biblical times was common because it was helpful for identification purposes, as in the case of Joseph of Arimathea or Saul of Tarsus. But I want you to consider that the demons and the angels and Jesus himself used Nazareth in combination with the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth was an oxymoron, like bittersweet. But to associate the name Nazareth with the name Jesus wasn't to take Jesus' reputation down, but to improve the reputation of Nazareth. And that is the whole point. We are all from Nazareth. We've all rejected him. We've all refused him. We've all doubted. We've all fallen short. And Jesus is not reluctant still to attach his name to yours. The way we would say it today is not Jesus of Nazareth. We would say Nazareth's Jesus. That's really the inference. So put your name in place of Nazareth and say like this, Scott's Jesus. Jesus is Scott's Jesus. Now, if I was Jesus, I wouldn't want to attach my name to this guy, Scott Craig. I know too much about me. Ironically, Jesus knows even more than I know about me, and he's still not reluctant to attach his name to mine, and he's not reluctant to attach his name to yours. It's to raise your reputation. After all, that is why he came, to raise you, to raise everything about you, and eventually to raise you to eternal life. Back in a synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus said that he came to heal the sick. He came to restore sight to the blind and release the captives, but for the most part, earth has chosen to remain sick, blind, and bound. As John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Have you received him? He's waiting to be brought into your life. Accept him. He will not reject you, though others will. He will love you. He will watch over you. He will save you from yourself. And most of all, he will save us from the eternal effects of our sins that are the cause of our death. He loves us. And as he himself said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Merry Christmas, everybody. For KLMP, this is Scott Craig, Public Policy Advisor.